The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2. Final trailer? I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need?
Exactly. Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist!
Yeah, buddy!
All right. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans
you have no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 424. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, last week, Ringside Ran, one half of the Pro Wrestling Pundits joined me on this show to talk about WrestleMania. But alas, returning this week to talk about the predictions that we made and to run down what went on at the event is not only Ringside Rand, but also DJ Joey Blaze. So they are united. The pro wrestling pundits are back together. And I'm looking forward to finding out what Joey thought about the pay-per-view. I also can't wait to hear what Rand has to say about some of his predictions. So it's going to be a great wrestling-themed episode. But while I'm talking about WrestleMania, I want to give a quick shout out to, of course, Gerald Glassford, the man behind the Pop Culture Cosmos. I want to thank him for having me come on and talk about WrestleMania with him on his show last week as well. It's a great, great show, the Pop Culture Cosmos, and on all of Gerald's podcasts. I mean, he's got Lakers Fast Break, he's got Inside Sports Fantasy Football Podcast. The dude is very busy. Check out his stuff, and I want to thank you once again for letting me come on and talk wrestling with you, Gerald. Can't wait to do it again in a few weeks. All right, with that, I want to thank, of course, a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, that being World's Greatest Comics. As I tell you every week on this show, that if you want a five-star comic book store, then look no further than World's Greatest Comics. They got everything you need for your fandom, whether you're talking about single issues, graphic novels, collections, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, collectibles, toys, etc., etc. They have it. And if they don't have it, I'm sure Jeff and the fine folks will get it for you. So, you need to swing by the store, especially if you're in Central Ohio. 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio is their street address. You can also check them out online. At WGComics.com is their web address, and they're very active on their Facebook page, so check them out at WGComics. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with the pro wrestling pundits as we analyze WrestleMania. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this evening, this time with both members of the Pro Wrestling Pundits. DJ Joey Blaze, you feeling better, man?
Greetings and salutations, friends. Yes, yes, your savior to the podcast is here. He's back. He's not at quite 100%, but I'll take high 90s. That's still an A in school, right? 91?
91 would be.
I'll take a 91 or 92% at this point. But I'm here. Everybody, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
And, of course, Ringside Rand coming back from last week's appearance on the PVD Cast. How are you?
Life is good. Gotta tell you, unlike Curb Your Enthusiasm, we're not going anywhere, pal. We're staying right here.
Oh, okay.
The show ended, Joe.
So, before we start
analyzing and talking about WrestleMania and some of the new storylines that have been kind of teased on this week's episode of Raw. You were at Square Circle Expo out in Indianapolis the weekend of Easter.
Correct.
Did you have a good time?
I had a blast. I can't say enough about how great of an event that, which I'm very lucky to call him a friend, Ed Gonzalez,
mm-hmm.
and his partner Adolfo do with this convention. They've already started planning for next year. It's August 18th and 19th, right there before.
August or April?
April, excuse me. April 18th and 19th. What I was going to say, I got sidetracked. Easter's on 420 next year. How wild's that?
What?
Yeah. Okay.
Easter's based on full moons and Sundays after Christmas.
Okay.
Anyway, what's nice then is you can get as high as you want to and you'll have as much candy in your basket.
Yeah, well, you'll never have the case of the munchies.
But great time. I strongly suggest it. The convention part is great. That was very smooth. We met a lot of great wrestlers, including the icon Sting, who is one of the most class acts I have ever met in my life when it comes to professional wrestling. But that was packed for all that. The lines were long for Kane, Hardy Boys. Riddle was a little bit long. We hung out. And we got to hang out with our friends from Legendary Collectibles. They have a setup there, and they actually had Shane Douglas and Let Me Holla At You Playa, Teddy Long. And it's a great time. If any of the listeners ever get a chance to check it out, I strongly suggest it's one of the conventions you want to cross off the list.
All right. As I mentioned to you off air, I too have been out there. Not this year, but in previous years, it's always been fun. The two times I went, they do a hell of a job putting on a hell of a show.
Very organized,
mm-hmm.
which we all know in the world of professional wrestling, and we come from some crazy independent wrestling days. It for stuff to go on time and be organized. Ed and Adolfo, chef's kiss.
There you go. All right, well, gentlemen, I'm going to let the listeners know real quick that we're going to start talking about all of the action from this past week's WrestleMania. We are going to judge things on a body slam system. 5 body slams for an awesome match, 1 body slam for the drizzling shits. And we're going to talk about each one of these matches and kind of pick it apart and talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, et cetera, et cetera. So let's start with an overall rating for both Saturday and Sunday. What would you give it, Joey, if you were giving it a rating? 1 body slam to 5 body slams.
I got encompassed the whole weekend.
Okay.
Because Stand and Deliver was, I didn't get to watch the whole show, but what I watched was awesome. I thought everything looked great on that show. And I know we didn't do any predictions, or we probably won't even talk about it, but I definitely want to throw that out there. I enjoyed what I saw of that, especially the North American Championship match. Just big boys slapping the hell out of each other. I gave it like 4.25 body slams for the weekend.
Okay. All right.
There was some dead spots we could have done without. There was a couple things taken away from the 5 body slams, but I was very entertained. I was very sports entertained, and I enjoyed a lot of professional wrestling. It was the fine, if you're weighing both hands, I think it kind of evened out. You got a little bit of everything you wanted that weekend. So I gave it 4.25 body slams.
I look at my score sheet and I see a lot of 3.5s, 4s, and I got to go with a 4 overall.
I would agree with you, Rand. I'm going 4 as well, especially with night 2. I think, personally, myself, night 2, I think, was the better night than night 1. But I give it a 4. I, too, was very excited for this event. And I actually, you mentioned NXT Stand and Deliver. That is something I wanted to check out, and I will probably later on, much like the Hall of Fame. I had zero interest in the Hall of Fame. And then hearing about what went on and Heyman's various different promos and whatnot, I'm waiting this weekend. I think I'm going to be visiting that. I didn't even watch it, so I can't revisit, but I'm going to visit that.
And I felt very confused about life after Thunderbolt Patterson speaking, which you kind of draw stuff out and you want to say, let me hear you say amen. And I was like, what's going on? You know, and if I'm watching an old show and Thunderbolt Patterson would come on, I'd love to hear the promos. I felt very weird about that.
Okay.
Just kind of glanced at it. And Paul Heyman was awesome.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's start with night one. Match one, Rhea Ripley defending the women's championship against Becky Lynch. It is rumored at the time that Becky was under the weather with strep throat, possible 105 or 100 degree temperature. I'm not sure. She had a temperature. We'll just leave it at that. I gave it 3 body slams. I really liked the end. I thought the finish was very good with the riptide on the top, on the buckles, and then grabs her, gives Becky Lynch another one of the riptides. My only gripe, maybe shave it down a little bit time-wise, because there seemed to be some dead spots in there. And especially if you're not feeling 100%, trim this down to 10 minutes instead of the 17 minutes that it went.
So what I got from that is you said you like your women shaved. Is that what you just...
Play back the tape.
Okay. So, with most matches, I mean, you can go, maybe they should trim this out or maybe they should trim that out. I don't feel like you could have taken a better match and kicked off the Mania weekend than that. I think just because the two people involved, the two young ladies involved, and how over mommy is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're very fortunate to see Rhea Ripley and watch her blossom and continue to blossom into eventually being, I think, on the Mount Rushmore when it's all said and done of women's wrestling.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
It's a bold statement because you watched how everybody was into her. You watch how she works. She's so over. She's beyond over. And it's the Philadelphia crowd. I get it. They like the look. But, I mean, that's their golden girl. If Cody's the golden boy, mommy's their golden girl. But we'll talk about another one that I wasn't too impressed with. But I gave that 4 body slams, that match, because I feel like that was the perfect match to kick off Mania. And I think it was, unfortunately, the best women's match of the weekend as well.
Okay.
There was a really unique electric chair combination over the rope onto the floor. I don't think I've seen that before.
No. No.
Very innovative. Both of those women are very innovative.
Becky's clothing had quotes from her new book.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. As did her ring jacket or ring attire or whatever it was.
Yeah. I thought it was a great match. I gave it 4. The riptide at the finish. I thought that was a great crowd involving opening match. Was there a match before the cameras came on at 7?
I don't believe so.
And this was a great opening match.
I have stated in the past, and I think I stated it last week to you, Rand, that the Luchador tag match is what I would have started off with. You know, Dom and Santos versus Rey and Dragon Lee, which ended up being Andrade. That if I was booking, I would have started off with that because that was going to be a really good, impactful, high-octane, high-flying match. But I agree. This may be now in hindsight was the better way to go. And we all selected Rhea Ripley to go over. All right, up next then is the 6-pack tag team ladder match. I don't know what it was called, but with of course, the Judgment Day, DIY, the Awesome Truth, A-Town Down Under, the New Day, New Catch Republic. So, Joey, what'd you think of this match?
I was wrong.
We all were wrong.
That's the first thing. I was wrong. I didn't really realize they'd be able to split up the tag titles like that.
I didn't realize that either.
There was a rumor going around that they were going to do that. I think it's dumb. I'm going to go out there. I'm not a fan.
I think it did what it was supposed to. It put new champs on. It moved people around and started storylines.
So
it's a blender.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
This is where it comes in where I was very sports entertained. I think some stuff was heavily gimmicked, including maybe a couple of those ladders. If you looked, I think the one ladder was made out of foam that your favorite wrestler went through that you don't get from down under.
Oh, Austin Waller. Grayson Waller. Yeah. You know, funny thing real quick. Saturday night, I kept calling him Morgan Waller, and my friends were like, that's a country singer. Stop saying Morgan.
His but he also Grayson. Throws chairs, so.
There you go. Anyways.
So, I was very sports entertained. The hot tag with R-Truth was hilarious.
Of course. I had my notes as well.
There was several, just one action after another, and this, and boom, and everybody got their moves in, I felt like that. There was a little bit where there, I could tell there was a little confusion. But overall, I would give this four body slams too, because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed how they... broke up the tag team belts like that, and one it's one of the things I've noticed is I think with this whole Paul Levesque era is we're getting deeper into storytelling, right? And I think this there's several stories that can come from this as well. Side note, I love DIY's DX gear. That was awesome.
Oh, okay, yeah,
that was pretty cool. There's and so much great gear this year, by the way. New gear that people debuted that was awesome, including Kevin Owens' ECW tribute shorts. But anyway, I gave it four body slams. I enjoyed it. I'm glad to see R-Truth get one more title before it's all said and done for him. So
his first WrestleMania win.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Long overdue.
And he doesn't like ladders. Like, that's legit. Like, he's scared of ladders.
I also thought it was funny that he went full John Cena mode, where he was doing the knuckle shuffle and.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, he does that in a lot of his matches, and then continued on to Monday night, as we saw. So,
well, none of us were correct on our predictions. I predicted DIY was going to win. Rand, you picked the New Day. You had Judgment Day.
But we also thought there was only going to be one title.
That's true. That is true. That is true. Look, in regards to. The awesome truth winning the belts. I like it too. I think that they could do a lot with that. You know, A Town Down Under, I don't know why they're pairing Theory with Waller. Again, I'm not a fan of Waller. I haven't been. I don't see me ever switching and being a rah-rah cheerleader for him. I don't know. Just there's something about the guy that I just don't dig. So, but okay, if you're going to give him a belt, give him a tag belt for the time being. I gave it three body slams. I thought, you know, again, I also went into it going, it's a ladder match. So it's got that little bit of like, you got to cut it some slack because psychology is not going to be really deep on this match. And it was a fun match. There you go.
I went 3.5.
And you said 4, right, Joey?
I did say 4.
Okay.
Very stiff, strong 4.
But is it a figure 4?
Not quite.
Okay. Our next match is the match that I kind of alluded to, Andrade and Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio and, of course, Santos Escobar. Man, that body splash from the buckles. I think it was...
The double?
Yeah.
That was cool. I've never seen anything like that before.
That was real cool. I thought this was a fine match. I really did. I enjoy that they incorporated the Philadelphia Eagles in on the finish. I mean, why not? You're there. You know, why not? I gave it 3.5 body slams because I thought it was... I was disappointed a little bit because I thought it would be a little bit more up-tempo because at points it seemed to, like, just stop almost. And I felt that, you know, it would have been pedal to the metal, balls to the wall, ready to go.
Could that have been the difference between Dragon Lee and Andrade?
Good point, and I agree, yes. And I assume that Dragon Lee is legit injured.
I have no idea. I haven't heard. I haven't paid attention.
I haven't paid attention either, but he was removed after being attacked on SmackDown that Friday, and then Andrade replaces him. So
I would have liked to have seen not the whole LWO barb from ringside, but maybe just the men and keep the ladies out there. After they did their big spot, then maybe have the ref kick them out. That way there wasn't as much craziness going on. At times,
it does get confusing when you have that many people.
And I really thought going into this that we would see Carlito turn because Rey went with Andrade instead of Carlito.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't. So I was like, with that happened, I was like, oh, snap. But obviously that didn't happen. So you get the Jason Kelce, you get the quote unquote, kind of, you get the Taylor Swift fairy dust with that as well, right? Because everybody's excited. Kelce is Travis's brother. He just retired. He
takes his shirt off all the time. Drinks beer like a normal dude, you know.
And then I totally didn't. I mean, I know who Lane Johnson is, but I didn't know who Lane Johnson is. I thought that was weird.
No. I agree with you because I'm like, I've heard that name, but I don't know who this guy is. You know,
two local heroes.
Sure, absolutely.
Which could have gone really big if they were the first match, like you thought.
I think it still packed a punch.
Oh, though, it Rand. Worked. Yeah.
I kind of would have loved to have seen Jalen Hurts. Yeah. Why not get one? No, seriously, why not get somebody, or maybe somebody that's a little bit more athletic on the Eagles that would could do something? Like, could you imagine, like, Jalen Waddle out there flying off the top rope? Like, he's, not Waddle, Jalen, Devontae Smith. That's what I meant to say, Devontae Smith. Anyways, I'm with you on the 3.5 range. It was entertaining, but, it was cool. I almost think it was something that would have been, like, a better SmackDown main event.
Yeah. Well, Joey, you picked the winners. Rand and I did not. We went with the heels. So, all right.
I really thought it was a great way. I don't think, even though the heels lost, quote unquote, they lost as far as they still got over. I really am liking Escobar with where they can go with him.
Mm-hmm.
They both of them looked still ended up being strong for their characters.
And I agree. And I can't wait to see a Santos Andrade
program. Oh, I think that would be fantastic.
I think that's going to be a great program. I'm sure they're going to pull the trigger on it. So, all right. It's time for Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso. Rand, what do you think about this match?
I don't know whether the timing stale. We should have had this a couple months ago. It just seemed like a letdown to me. I gave it 2. For some reason, it just didn't pop. It was underperforming its huge potential.
So I'm in somewhat agreeance with you on that. I don't know if there was just something off with Jimmy. Like, and when he did the whole, like, come on, brother type stuff, like, that was just very lame to me. Like, they didn't need to have that spot in the match. I think Jey has so much momentum anyways. Like, they've either done it late or they just weren't prepared for the match. I was really expecting a lot more out of this. I think that's where my letdown comes, because this is one match I was, like, you know, you hear those brother versus brother match. You know, you have the Hardys. You have the,
Brett
Nolan, right? So you have the, you know, Bretto, and you have the Hardys. So to have something like this, I think it could have been special. And plus, they're twins. Why not have Rikishi get involved somehow? Instead of having the whole him doing, maybe have Keish run in and try and, you know, and something happens where, you know, Jimmy swings at Jey and Jimmy accidentally hits Keishi or something. Just something, you know, why not do something than what was happening in the middle? And they just seemed off on some stuff. I give it 3 body slams, and I'm very, very generous with that.
You're very generous. I was bored out of my mind with this match. I was bored with the 7,000 super kicks. I was bored, like you said, with the, oh, I'm so sorry, please take me back, brother. Like, the only way that works and is cool is if he does take him back and he does repent his sins. Otherwise, it's lame, as you said.
The best part of the match was the entrance.
Yeah.
The whole Yeet thing, everybody in the crowd doing it, that was the best part, which is sad.
Yep. And I'm going to give props to Gerald real quick, Gerald Glassford of the Pop Culture Cosmos. He said this match needs a stipulation. Like, it just can't be Jimmy versus Jey. It needs to be in a cage, or it needs to be Samoan death match, or it needs something, any type of gimmick to make it just that much more interesting, because on paper it's not that interesting.
Maybe that's where we see Jacob Fatu come in.
There you go.
And we see them with more like with Solo involved or something like that. And
something.
But to be like a highlight and to be something they were building up to for Mania, it didn't happen.
And we did not pick the correct winners at all. So
I didn't pick Jey?
Jey. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. You have Jey. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the wrong list. Sorry. Jey, you have Jey. I have the wacky double countout scenario. All right, on to Damage Control taking on Naomi, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill. Rand, what did you think about the 6-woman tag match?
Nothing special. Just an average, almost too many people in the ring at once, 3-on-3 match.
Okay. How many body slams would you give it?
2.5.
I'm with Rand. I think this is another one that you could put on SmackDown and have the same effect. I think they were expecting more, and I see why. But was, I mean, you did get to, my whole thing is, if you're gonna focus and build Jade Cargill, why was Bianca the one that you focused on last? You came out to her music. I think they should have all got together with Jade Cargill's music. Mm-hmm. So that threw me off from the beginning. If the focus is on Jade to build her, why was she first when they came down?
But with that, I think they did a pretty decent job of showcasing Jade and not exposing her weaknesses.
I agree with that.
I think that they did a great job with that. I feel like 8 minutes, 8 minutes and 5 seconds, perfect time, perfect timing for this match. But I do agree with you, Joey, is I feel like if we are trying to showcase, I know I used that verb just a minute ago, but if we're trying to showcase Jade, we need to make her a bigger deal. I felt like in this match, she kind of got lost because she spent a lot of time on the apron.
Right.
And when she did get in there, she showed well. She did a great job. But yeah, this match also kind of...
That little thing that she does at the end where she licks her hand after on the pin.
Yeah.
And she leans back and licks it. Awesome. it's awesome. Like, it's great for the...
Yeah.
It's special to her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Rand, you had Damage Control, and Joey and I had the Faces.
2.5 body slams. My end.
Oh, I gave 3 body slams, so, okay. All right, it's time for the Intercontinental Championship match. Gunther versus Sami Zayn. I'm gonna give my two cents worth first. You are going to be doing a storyline with Mama Rhodes, not only on night one, but also on night two. So did we need Sami Zayn's wife? Did we really need her to be there and his kid? Like, I felt like that was, while it didn't impact the match, other than a few times when Gunther would yell at her, I just felt like too much. That's too much. You know what I mean? You're doing that with another storyline that is showcased on both evenings. Stay away from it.
So I kind of get it, but I don't get it.
Okay.
I see what the stretch was, the whole Rock, they're in Philly, so the whole Rocky thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that. You had Ivan Drago versus Rocky. So I see that. I don't agree with it. I understand what they were, the stretch, what they were trying to do. But I don't agree with it.
And look, I did also think that the finish was a great big surprise. I truly was shocked by that. But now I think it also telegraphs to a lot of the fans, Gunther's moving on. And he's probably going to be moving on to one of the world champions.
He's going to move on to Cody.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, I gave it 3.5 body slams for what it was. You know, it had its moments. Like I said, I liked the surprise finish, but some of that
could
have been cleaned up a little bit.
So, being somebody that's slightly involved in the wrestling industry, so you know what that was meaning too. You wanted to give the crowd that good babyface win moment before your babyface is losing the main event.
Right, right.
So that was the good for that. I know I picked Gunther because I think he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That spot, that brainbuster on the turnbuckle was one of the nastiest moves I've ever seen.
Yes.
That's scary as shit.
Especially, real quickly, if I may interject, Zayn did that to smaller guys
throughout
most of his career. That brainbuster was done on guys that were cruiserweights, if you will. Not a guy that's like 6'4", 255 pounds.
And I feel like that one got put on the shelf by Vince.
Oh, of course.
So I think bringing that move back made it kind of special, right? I'm with you on the same 3.5. I kind of wanted to see a Gunther-dominated match at Mania, just where he just comes in and just beats the piss out of him, maybe a little bit of comeback, and then something happens down the road, and maybe we see Gunther Rhodes at SummerSlam.
Question, real quickly, not really off topic, but a little bit. What about the idea of The Rock versus Cody at SummerSlam?
Too soon.
You think it's too soon?
Yeah, he's got 2 or 3 movies coming up to film.
Okay.
They're saying that's not going to happen until next year's Mania.
Okay.
That's probably going to be your main event of next year's Mania.
Okay, okay.
Or Rumble. But okay. I would assume they would save that for
Survivor Mania. Survivor Series?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to see that. The Rock for a while.
Okay, all right.
But anyways, so no, I'm a big mark for Gunther. I wasn't happy with the outcome, but I get why.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it more than you did. I gave it 4.5.
Wow. Okay.
I think they built up the questioning himself, underdog, doesn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. Got the new coach, the new attitude, and he finally gets over the hump. I think he takes down the much bigger and usually the better mm-hmm. Gunther. I think he's going to have the IC title. Gunther's going to move on, go upstairs. I was surprised Chad Gable didn't come out during the match.
Well, you stated last week you think that they're gearing up, Rand, for a possible Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable yeah. program. And so do you still feel that way?
Yeah.
Okay. Especially after last night on Raw, I feel too.
Okay.
Monday night on Raw, yeah.
Right, right. Well, let's get to our main event, the Bloodline versus Cody and Seth. As we know, if Cody and Seth won, the Bloodline would be barred from ringside. If The Rock and Roman wins, then it's Bloodline rules the following night, night two.
All the whiners on formerly known as Twitter about this and that and the other about the damn main event, would you please shut the hell up? Because it told the story that needed to be told. We knew what was going to happen. That's what had to happen. You couldn't have them win. That would make zero freaking sense. And I honestly love it now as we go on to Monday Night Raw, the clean pin by The Rock. It made perfect sense to me, especially as you go on. I enjoyed it. I had a fun time with the match. I wasn't over-enthused about it, but the crowd seemed to be in you know, and it's The Rock. I gave it 3.5 body slams, but we all knew that had to happen to go in tonight too, because we're telling stories.
Hunter is very upfront about telling stories, and this is. I gave it 4. I thought it might have been a little bit longer than it needed to be. I think it could have been cut down a few minutes, because when you have 4 people, who are you watching?
Yeah. I think this match was fine, but this is where I think you and I, Joe, are going to disagree. It's 44 minutes. That was a long time to sit through. A lot of people in the viewing party that I was at was like, come on, wrap this up. We're tired of this. You fought all around the stadium. That's cool and all that jazz, but let's get back. Let's wrap this up. I feel like that took a lot away from it.
Oh, I think it went a little over. I wouldn't disagree with that.
Okay. Well, I think that they could have trimmed this down quite a bit. But
25%?
Yeah, I would say that would be fine. That would be perfect. I also, though, gave it 3 body slams, because I didn't think, even with that, that was my only gripe that I had. It told a great story. The finish was good. Let me backtrack that. I agree with you. It was good now that it was explained on Raw. You know what I mean? Like, I pinned you in that tag team. So that's good. That night, I might have, in fact, I wrote down bad finish ? So, but yeah, overall, it did what it needed to do.
What do you think of the final boss character?
I think the final boss character has a little more complexity than some of the other characters in the WWE. I think it's even more complex than just regular old Rock from 1998. I've enjoyed The Rock and Cody, that whole build-up. I've enjoyed it. I enjoy the fact that he kicked his ass out in the parking lot, threw him, and we had blood and we had cussing and all that jazz. I like it because that's pro wrestling. That's what I have been a fan of. So I've enjoyed it. I really did. My only thing is, like, and again, let's go back to Monday Night Raw, that opening promo.
Too long.
Too long. And what did he get? Like, this is not a joke, folks. You're listening. You're going to think I'm trying to be funny, but I'm not. I thought literally when The Rock says, I have something to give you, and he put his hand in the pocket.
There he's going.
Flip him off. Yeah. I thought he was like, I thought he was going to be like, I got something for you.
Yeah,
and he pulls his hand out. You know, he's got the gimmick where you go, hey, I got something for you. Fuck you, you know, with the finger. And he just handed him something. I'm like, and then the whole night, I'm like, what did he hand him? And then I ended up not finishing Raw because I almost fell asleep on the couch. But so I hurried the next morning to read results to see if they revealed it. And apparently they never revealed what it is. But I so want to know what that is.
I think it's a bead from the leg, because I think what they're going to end up pushing is that now, because Cody won, that he's the new tribal chief.
Okay, that's not a bad theory. Not a bad theory.
Something that they could put in there and come back with. But yeah, it was so weird. It was like, hey, here's that nickel bag I owed you. You know?
Like, yeah, I mean, it was.
Here's that good stuff. Enjoy it tonight.
Like, yeah.
The whole belt thing was awkward. It was so awkward that they chanted,
this is awkward.
Which was awesome.
And I also didn't understand that either. Like, the whole time I'm like, he's going to hit him with his belt, right? Like, this is going to be like the, you know, like a drug deal in a Hollywood movie, right? Where somebody gets, you know, both the cases and then screws the other one over. And it kind of didn't go anywhere, but yet I couldn't stop watching.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess bottom line, it did its job.
Very true.
All right, gentlemen, before we get moving on into night two, talking about WrestleMania, need to let the fine folks that are listening know that I have a great sponsor of this podcast, and it is, of course, World's Greatest Comics. They have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They have single issues, they got graphic novels, they got collections, they've got toys, they got collectibles. They have literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of back issues. So if you're like Rand and you're missing Silver Surfer 187.
How'd you know?
I know these things. I know these things. I can look at you and tell that you have an incomplete collection. All Rand has to do is go down the street and go to World's Greatest Comic, and I'm sure they will have that issue right there in the back issues. And there you go.
You're leaving right now.
Well, no, don't leave right now. Okay. We want to finish the podcast. But you need to check out World's Greatest Comics if you need a comic book store to call your own. They're located right here in Central Ohio, 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can check them out online. WGComics.com is the web address. And they're pretty darn active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics.
So, Rand, just to let you know, he's talking about comic books. He's not talking about old Hustler magazines. I know you enjoy vintage Hustler.
Actually,
with all those ladies of the 70s.
I was a fan of Oi.
Oi?
O-E-Y.
That's Wee!
We ain't learned no French in Zanesville.
Like, Oi, what was it, penned by the Sex Pistols?
Some of them girls.
Oink, 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 oink. Oink, oink. You're thinking oink. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Just call me Jugs, guy. I just J-U-double-G-S. Put that on the front of a magazine, I'm buying it.
Sometimes I like Al Bundy, I like Biggins.
Oh, God. All right, let's...
I haven't used that joke forever.
All right, let's talk about night two of WrestleMania. First off, I was surprised by Stephanie McMahon coming out and welcoming
everyone. Very pleasant
there.
Surprise.
Yeah, very pleasant surprise.
It doesn't look like she's aged in the last 10 years.
No,
it doesn't. We haven't seen her since her...
Since the Hall of Fame. We saw her that night.
Yeah.
With her ECW hat on.
But we haven't seen her. When Vince's trouble came to light, she left.
Right.
Like, she knew and didn't want to be associated with.
Right, and then she left him prior to that. So when they were doing the merger, the TKO merger, and we started to hear whispers of Rita Chatterington and all those other things, she left that first time. Then he left. She came back. And then he came back, you know, through his having the 51% stock, blah, 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 blah stuff, and then she left again. Look, I said it many, many, many times. When that happened, I was like, there's something going on inside the family, because just to me, that was weird. That was weird. Why do you keep coming and going? Why your dad's in the office, not in the office, in the office, not in the office, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, there was definitely some weird stuff going on there.
Definitely. Well, we opened the show with Drew McIntyre taking on Seth freaking Rollins.
Now, when Drew McIntyre was on QFM a couple weeks ago, he promised that when he came to Raw April 22nd here in Columbus, that he would be the champ. And he did win the title, but...
That's a big but, by the way. But...
I cannot lie.
Thanks, Mix-a-Lot. I thought this match had some awesome storytelling. Seth can't overcome his injuries. The cash in at the end, fantastic. Glad to see they're giving Damian Priest a run now. Awesome stuff. Just all the way around, I gave it 4 body slams.
With CM Punk's interference and commentary.
Yeah, absolutely. I forgot. I didn't even write that down, but you're absolutely correct on that as well.
Yeah, Punk doesn't interfere. They don't do that run in at the end. I like the story that told too. The Drew won. And Punk's like,
just the way he was like no-selling it to Drew, like, come on, dude, come on. Then as soon as he got his moment, he tore his legs out from underneath him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was very cool. Very cool to see that for Punishment Martinez. That's one of those guys that, you know, he's paid his dues and he's mm-hmm. been around, and why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not give him a run with that? So good for him.
And let's be honest, Judgment Day is still red hot.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they're still the hottest faction in the WWE, as opposed to the next couple factions we'll talk about in a minute. Rand, I gave it 4 body slams. How many did you give it?
In the history of run-ins and cash-ins, they're usually pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
There's never like more than a minute or two, is there?
After the match?
When the cash-in... And the second match
turns
starts.
Into a second match that has length.
Oh, that a minute, less than a minute.
Right.
Yeah, it's got to be like 45 seconds.
I realize you strategically go out and take advantage of when the guy's, or girl, is mm-hmm. in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great if there was actually like a 3 or 4 minute match?
And I think they've done that.
One of the cash-ins.
One of the cash-ins.
I can't remember whose it was.
Yeah, it turned
might have been Ronda Rousey.
I don't remember.
No, I don't remember.
I think somebody cashed in on her. And it went a couple of minutes, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it 3.5, and I gave a plus for the cash-in.
Okay. Joey, what was your rating?
4? 4 body slams.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, overall, a great way to start the show, too, by the way.
Yes.
Another great way to start it. I mean, there's plenty of happening.
And we all felt like that would probably happen, the cash-in. Yeah. I just it presented it in a way that made it still kind of a surprise.
Absolutely. And let's see. Rand had Drew, and I had Drew. So technically, we got one. Joey had Seth Rollins as his prediction. All right, I alluded to it. And I got to give props to whoever booked this match. Here's why. Philly Street Fight, the Final Testament versus... are they called the Pride still or no?
I don't know.
It's Lashley and the Street Profits, nonetheless. On paper, I looked at this match and go... I don't care about any of this because, for some odd reason, we can't figure something out to do with Karrion Kross or Scarlett, for that matter. But Bubba Ray Dudley is the ref. Snoop Dogg came out on commentary. Bubba Ray Dudley gets involved. B-Fab and Scarlett take the table bump. I gave it 2.5 body slams because of just those two things. The lady taking the table bump. And Snoop's commentary, which made absolutely no fucking sense. Like, half the time, I'm like, what are you talking
just
about?
Just random stuff. I just read in front of him, yo, world star, world star.
Yeah.
Like, he was just selling, yo, oh, come on, baby girl, don't hurt yourself like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, if it wasn't for those two things, I probably wouldn't have given it that high. I probably would have given it, like, because it wasn't a very good match at all. But they managed to salvage it with those two things.
Well... I'm going 3 body slams just because we got to see the former manager of the Legion of Doom out there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anytime you see Mr. Ellery, I don't know if you noticed if he had the Wall Street Journal with him.
He had Rocco with him on his hand, though.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding. He didn't.
no, I was, you know, that's one of those where I was kind of looking the same thing, like, what's going to go on with this? What? So they did. They put in Bubba was great. That was a great addition. I got really excited. I thought people, they look like, everybody looked $1 million in this match, in my opinion, as far as their look.
Sure.
I'm going with 3 body slams just because I liked all the plunder. I liked the little things that you mentioned as well. That women table spot was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I gave it 3 body slams. I wasn't pissed. I was surprised. So
okay.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
I thought it was the weak point of the night, but it still got 2 body slams. I think if it wasn't for Bubba, I don't know that Snoop added anything. He might have been more of a distraction.
Well, okay, for me, I agree. His commentary was awful, but it made it fun. It made it so... It's like a bad movie. You know, it's like a bad movie that you watch, you go, God, this is so bad, it's good. And that was Snoop's commentary. And by the way, I've said that about Snoop Dogg, because I remember, like, 3 or 4 years ago, he did guest commentary for an LA Kings game in the NHL, and it was awful then. It was terrible. He couldn't even get players' names right, even the simple ones, like Dustin Brown. He couldn't get that name right. I'm like,
well, I mean, some of it I can understand. It's like you're watching a Dragon Ball Z or My Hero Academia show, and you're trying to figure out the names. they have names with like 17 letters and like one vowel in their name. Right. It's all consonants.
A couple of eye charts in there. They look like eye charts. I got to think being a radio announcer for NHL hockey is a pretty tough job.
Oh, there's a lot of...
losing a great one next week.
Yeah.
There's a lot of phonetically spelled out stuff on their programs. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Taking on AJ Styles. This match turned out being much better than I anticipated it to be. I gave it 4 body slams. I really, really, really liked it. Although, I'm guilty of picking AJ Styles because I'm going to be honest. I thought that, again, they weren't going to give it to L.A. I really did. I thought...
Based on the history, I can understand that.
Yeah. So, but both Joey and Rand picked L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Joey, what did you think about the match?
I was pleasantly surprised with the outcome. I really enjoyed it. I gave it 4 body slams myself. I like where they're going with LA Knight, and I think they're going to move him into a program with Mr. Logan Paul.
Oh, okay.
I think LA Knight's your next United States champion.
Okay.
I think that's where they're going to go with it, and I think it got him over strong. I thought the whole Slim Jim stuff was weird.
Oh, yeah.
He came out and gave the car and like...
And those people had... they looked like they were completely clueless.
Yeah, I want a car? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think we had a lot of commercials in this.
Oh, we did. This whole event had way too many commercials.
See, on the mat.
I'll disagree. I think it's where we're going. If we look at any like sporting stuff overseas, you got the jerseys, you got the... I mean, why not? If you're trying to make yourself a profitable company, let's do it. Let's tie it in somehow.
Okay.
And we already know Slim Jim has a long history with wrestling, with Savage, so...
But here's my other question. If those two people, and I wish not to offend anybody out there by this next statement, but they look like they were older people. They were probably in their mid to late 60s.
What are they going to do with that car?
Right. That was my thought. I'm like, what are they going to... Because that car... It's like a hip 20-year-old's car. You know what I mean? It's not... It wouldn't even be a cool car for me in my late 40s.
I picture you driving something that has like wooden panels on the side.
I'm thinking an avocado green.
Yeah.
With station wagon. With a Truckster on the side.
Family Truckster?
Yeah. Yep. Station wagon.
I think the Griswolds down the street might be willing to park with their car.
Anyways,
I think it was cool for LA Knight to get a Mania moment. And you see some of the fallout commentary from this as AJ Styles is about ready to hang it up. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff being said that I think this might be his last year in wrestling.
Oh, okay.
The retirement's around the corner for him because of his kids getting older.
Yeah.
He's getting up there in age. God, you think about all the bumps and bruises, and he's been wrestling since we saw him on Nitro.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the last episode of Thunder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, but he's not the only one because I was surprised. I was doing watching the news last week, you know, for what was happening in WWE land and wrestling land in general. Somebody had a list. All of these guys are in their mid-40s. I mean, Reigns is 43. Seth Rollins is like...
Reigns is 43?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Like, Seth Rollins is in his 40s. LA Knight's in his 40s.
I know LA Knight is.
You know, like, it was shocking.
How we made fun of that, though, back in the day when all those older guys went to WCW.
Yeah, absolutely.
How old? What about Randy Orton?
Orton's like 4... I think
Reigns
he's my
is 38.
Age. He's 38?
Okay, yeah. What about Cody?
Cody's 38, I think. 38 or 39. Joey's looking it up.
Cody's 38.
He's 38.
Rey Mysterio's got to be older.
He's my age.
Yeah,
he's 40, 49.
Which is really old, yeah.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey.
Sorry.
All right, well, let's move on and talk about some more of these matches, all right, rather than ages. Nobody cares about our ages.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
Word. Let's go to Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton. Hey, man, you can have an entrance. But is it as cool of an entrance as Logan Paul had with a dancing Prime bottle? Rand is disgusted.
Some of these wrestlers old enough that should be a bottle of of Kaopectate or
Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol or
Metamucil.
Yeah.
I look at his entrance as the total opposite of what he did in that match.
Yeah.
The entrance was stupid. The truck was dope. Owens and Randy, that was fun.
That was funny. Yeah, that was pretty damn funny.
But this match was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
You thought like it could go either way. I predicted Logan Paul, though, to retain, I'm guessing, I think.
Let me check here. I believe that I picked Logan Paul. You picked Logan Paul. And Rand picked the man of the RKO, Randy Orton.
Mm. Oh, no.
I think it was a total good story, too, where everybody looked strong. Everybody still looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of fun spots. And it was one of those matches where Logan Paul shows that he belongs.
Yeah.
He's just so such a natural at it. And the locker room for them to be as open as they are and receiving that, too, was really cool to me as well. I mean, you had Randy Orton, who's the old guard, leader in that locker room, which is weird to call him a leader in 2024. And then Kevin Owens, who, I mean, both respected guys.
Mm-hmm.
And lack of a term, they did the job and helped put him over. And so that just showed he's not only over with us, he's over with the locker room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a really big deal. And I think as he goes on and he does more stuff, I think we'll see him in the ring a little bit more here and there. But I thought it was a great match. I gave it 4 body slams. I enjoyed it.
I'm at 4 body slams as well. I thought it was a really good match. And I feel like right now, if there's only one weakness to Logan Paul's game, is the creativity with the promo. Like, his promo is kind of like the old played out 1985 heel promo, you know, which is fine. That's fine. It's helping him get booze. But, you know,
I think it's something that'll come along.
Yeah, I agree.
I went 3.5. I took a little bit of points off for being the prime bottle. I think that's kind of hokey.
I thought it was funny, but I was hoping it was somebody, A, that I actually knew, and B, somebody a little more impactful. Like, I was hoping it would have been like...
That's why I predicted his brother. I thought, because you want to promote that fight with Tyson?
Yes.
I thought that would have been... And how cool would it have been if it had been Mike Tyson?
That, I think you said that in the text, didn't you? Yeah.
Like that would have been super cool, too. I think... They dropped the ball with that. I think if they would have put the right person there, that easily becomes 4.5, 5 body slams.
Yeah. If it was Jake Paul and he popped the cap off, he's like, I'm here, and he eats an RKO out of nowhere, that would be awesome.
And it would have been newsworthy.
Of course. It would have gotten major press. Pop. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Now we're moving on to the matchup featuring Io Sky defending her women's title against Bayley. Joey, we all know, if you are a new listener, let me just fill you in. Joey has a huge crush on Bayley.
Her outfit at the Hall of Fame, wow. So I have mixed feelings about this match.
Okay.
Well, and it's starting from the entrance, which was cool for Bayley. I mean, she had the Egyptian look or whatever. She had the hairdo. She had the pyramids in her hair. All this stuff going on. And I think Corey Graves was thinking it too. What does this have to do with her? So he made up the thing about the park in San Francisco. Like, he brought that up. It has nothing to do with her character. It had nothing to do with her heritage. So I didn't understand her entrance.
And listen, this is something that I mentioned last week when I was guesting on another podcast.
Or another podcast?
I feel like she has to evolve into another character. She can't go back and be the hugger. She can't be back and be kind of
I disagree. I think if she would have came out to the hugger gimmick at Mania, the crowd would have went nuts.
Yes, but I'm talking post-Mania. I'm talking from here on out.
But I think if she would have done an entrance with, you saw like 10 of those things pop up and shaking and shit, and she had her hair off to the side, maybe had some, had some extensions.
Okay.
I think the crowd would have lost their mind. And I think that would have been a better option as an entrance.
Well, and here's another one I can think of is, I think of like Colt Cabana in Ring of Honor, his feud with Homicide, where for a brief amount of time, he came out, no more goofing around. This is a serious blood feud. Like, if she could have done something like that, like come out dressed like that, but then, I'm taking the hair down. Oh, now maybe she didn't even have her tape yet. She starts taping up those hands. Oh, now it's on. I'm serious. You may see these wacky guys, and I may be dressed in the bright colors, but it's on, like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, like a steaming hot pot at Neckbone.
Yeah.
Sucker. I was a little underwhelmed with this match.
Okay.
I had high expectations because we kicked off WrestleMania with a great women's match. We all knew Bayley was going to win. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, that was another feel-good moment. I think now that she can take this and she can rebuild the babyface brand again as she goes on, I think she can have some fun with it. But I gave the match 3.5 body slams. I was really hoping for 4 or 4.5, but I gave it 3.5.
I thought it told a good story. I thought we got revenge. I went a little bit higher. I went 4. Mm.
I agree with Rand. I went 4.
See, he agrees with me.
I thought that the match told a great story. I think the finish was a little bit awkward. I didn't...
Well, I'm overcritical because she's my future ex-wife.
Okay.
Anyways, so I give it 4 as well. All right, now it's time. It's time. Oh, by the way, we all picked Bayley to win, much
it's
like...
It's time, but it's not Vader time.
It's not. Time. Or is it Miller time? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
it's not the time to get ill.
Word. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. It's main event time. I got to say, this match delivered way, way more than I anticipated. I really didn't see hardly any of this coming, but I was glad it did.
Because I knew that it was going to be overbooked as fuck, and I was there for it.
Sure.
I was ready.
I was not, but I still enjoyed it.
So... We need Cody Rhodes in The Boys. Whether he needs to show up with that outfit and then Homelander kills him. But his gear is so Homelander-esque. But it was sick. The gold things on his shoulders. It looked so cool.
I said that. I said that at the viewing party. I leaned over to my girlfriend and go, he borrowed that from Homelander. And we both giggled because you're right. He looks exactly... He looks very, very, very much like
Anthony Starr. I was waiting
like
for him to beat Roman Reigns with lasers out of his eyes at this point.
So, Rand, your thoughts?
I liked a lot of it. I don't think it was too long. I think it's the right length.
That's what she said.
Some of the run-ins, every time there's a run-in and the lights go out, I think of ECW. And I was expecting Taz with a washcloth on his head just to stand in the corner. But I'm glad it wasn't. I mean, we had Solo, Cena, Rock, and Undertaker.
And we had the Usos. And
Solo.
We had Seth. Yeah, but
Seth Rollins in the Shield gimmick, which I was for a few moments going, oh man, if they have Ambrose.
I was worked for that. I thought, well, we haven't seen him on AEW for a while.
Yeah, the same here.
And I was like, that would be so money, even if they would have just, look, can we just use them for this? We'll give you whatever you want. And it would have been worth it.
Yeah.
We'll even put over we'll talk about your company.
Mm-hmm.
That would, if they would have both came out of the crowd like
mm-hmm.
that would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, or if you'd just heard his old WWE music, if it had just been him instead of Seth and the Shield gimmick. But I was worked. It worked me. And I thought we were going to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when I was just Seth. And did Seth really get fucking hurt? His knee, it must have fucking... Something after that chair shot, his knee was shot.
I don't know.
I don't know if he was selling or what, but he... Now, I also got worked by Taker. I thought we were going to hear the glass. I thought we were going to hear the glass shatter.
Yeah.
Rumor was it was supposed to be...
Steve Austin. Stone Cold.
It didn't work out that they took Taker instead.
Taker was there. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Rock sold it like old school Rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would sell with Taker. I loved all the overbookings. That spear off the stage through the table was pretty sick for the Usos, too.
Yes, it was. In fact, I'm not sure they hit those tables exactly where they were supposed to. I think they overshot them somewhat.
I just love that Cena he's here to just help put other people over, and he's all about it.
Yeah.
Cena has gotten a lot of shit over the years, but man, Well, if we were, let's say, 10 years from now, and we redo the Mount Rushmore talk, where does Cena and Reigns end up in 10 years when we look at that Mount Rushmore?
I mean, with Cena, I mean, he's going on. I mean, he is a, you know how they say first year Hall of Fame ballot? He's like first second. Like when they go, hey, we need to book for the Hall of Fame. Cena. Like that, like right there. He's boom, right there.
But Roman Reigns had the belt for 1,000, and I know it's a work, guys, I get it, but 1,316 days. He was foot fourth to Hogan, San Martino, and Backlund. Mm-hmm. Hogan, Backlund's Bruno.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's amazing to me. And I know it's a work. I know, you know, you have, you're telling a story, but man, in 10 to 15 years, if we are here and we do another podcast, you got to look at putting Reigns on the Mount Rushmore.
To be that hot, that long, consistent is impressive. Yep,
that's it.
Pissing people off.
Because that's exactly it. It's a work. But if it doesn't, quote, work, in other words, the crowd isn't interacting with Roman Reigns.
Then it's
the
just a number.
Yeah, he's just a number. It's the whole...
Nobody was bored of him.
No, that's the thing. Absolutely.
He was so over, in fact, that there was people saying he was going to beat Cody again.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that. I think it was the right thing to do with Cody.
Yeah, we all picked Cody to win, by the way, but on that one. So
we were on Whatnot, and we were talking about it, and there was people coming in, like, you know, they're still thinking he was going to win, and I'm just like, I get it, like, if maybe one person's trying to be a troll, but there was people believing it. So for him to have that and to have all that going on, but I gave that match 4.5 body slams.
I gave the match 4 body slams because I really
just
really
because it had pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. I was sports entertained.
Mm-hmm.
It had nostalgia. Like it hit every emotion it can with it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end you had the whole, all the baby faces running out from the back. That was awesome. That was cool.
That reminded me of WCW back in the day.
Oh, when
the face one in the locker room
would clear out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. And it had the family moments with Mama and Brandy, who was there. We overlooked that she was there.
Or, like, if you're working out a deal with AEW, man, if Dustin would have ran in, that crowd would have went nuts.
Oh, absolutely.
Or, my side saying, what if Dustin would have ran in and we talked, I think we talked about it, where he would have cost the match, and then there's your SummerSlam sellout.
Mm-hmm.
But he's too locked into AEW. He's taking on a Samoan himself tonight on AEW.
Okay.
Samoa Joe versus Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, okay. On Dynamite.
Tony, man. Old TK. What a douchebag. And then that whole thing where they're going to show the stuff from All In. Tony Khan's a turd.
Well, you know what?
What about Keith Lee showing up at Hall of Fame? Did you guys see that?
No, well? No, I didn't watch the Hall of Fame, remember?
Well, it was all over the internet. They're interviewing CM Punk in the background, and here comes Keith Lee. It was almost like it was one of those, like, Easter eggs that they would plant anyways. Okay. Here comes Keith Lee walking right by the interview. Crazy. Crazy. And then all weekend, if you guys didn't catch the Easter eggs for Uncle Howdy coming back.
Oh, I did. I got a couple of those.
Where do we go with that? I think that's going to be part of something we got to discuss on a podcast too when it happens. Like, that's strange to me. I don't know how you can book that.
Well, you divorce yourself from the emotions of what that might bring. And, you know, my question is this. Because
Uncle Howdy tweeted after the weekend of just a picture of a rabbit.
My question is, can Bo Dallas pull it off?
That's what I'm worried about.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Can he pull it off? And that remains to be seen.
Do you bring back Eric Rowan to put with him? When Strowman comes back, does he join him?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm excited to talk about that on a future cast. I think that's something that we can do a deep dive.
All right. Well, speaking of a future episode, we are way long here. We're way past the hour. So let's start wrapping things up, gentlemen. Rand, where can folks find you on the internet?
On X, formerly Twitter. It's RANDDITTMAR. I'll sell the gimmick next time.
Okay. And Joey, where can folks find you?
So we're unveiling June 1st, onlydads.com, where it's nothing but gentlemen our age doing just dirty stuff on a... No, we're not doing that. You can find me on... My name's Joey, but I go by Remix Collectibles. You can find us at remixcollectibles.com. We have the way that you can check us out has all of our links on there. We like to do a lot of stuff on Whatnot with collectibles.
So remixcollectibles.com is about the easiest way to get a hold of us.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Well, it's been fun. We'll do this again real soon. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, as we talked about what went down at WrestleMania this past weekend and some future storylines for the WWE. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did and you'd like to let me know about it, please do. Let me tell you how you can get in touch with yours truly. First off, you can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look for @PVDcast. You can also find me on X. My personal handle over there is @PVDMVP. And you can even shoot me an email if you like. And the email address is johnorlando@PVDcast.com. And maybe you would like to help spread the word about the PVDcast. And you want to tell everybody you know about where they can hear each and every episode. Well, there's a bunch of avenues for that. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and a great place to get every single episode. But the PVDcast is also available through all of those major podcasting outlets like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, Deezer, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite podcast app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it and you should find it. And let me just remind you that if you listen through one of those podcasting outlets, please rate and review. It helps me out in the algorithm. You just have to give me as many stars as you think I deserve. And just write something simple, maybe a quick phrase. Love the episode. Can't wait for the next. Or something along those lines. You don't have to write a lot is what I'm getting at. But you do have to help me out by rating and reviewing. And of course, you can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And a third avenue where you can catch the PVDcast is over at the Facebook page. Every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast. So there's the third and final way that you can hear this great podcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVDcast. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.